Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 218.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 218. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School, and thank you so much for being here. So I kind of have just like a, I'm a little hoarse for some reason, as you can hear. And I think I've been filming a bunch of videos. I've been filming new lesson videos, and it's been taking a toll on my voice, as you can hear. So I might be clearing my throat a lot. I might be taking deeper breaths, speaking slowly, just like that. What's happening is like every time I go to speak, it kind of catches. It's super weird, but what I've been doing is I've been re-recording lots and lots of content within our Success Path curriculum and upgrading the videos. We just released 3.0. I'm upgrading all the content in there, and I'm also filming new content. I want to talk about this just for a second, because I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited about this new project that we're going to release inside our lab area. If you're interested in becoming a member, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com. Wow, I'm so sorry about this. You guys are probably like, oh, God, that poor guy. Well, maybe you're just like, nah, I don't know. But anyway, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com and check out our information on becoming a freedom learner, joining our community, getting access to our curriculum success path area, our lab area. And if you want, you can add on specialty courses as well with our elite lifetime membership. Now, the fun thing is that I'm creating this new area inside the lab. And what I've found is that people, I'm all about the path. I'm all about the structure, right? So what I've given is a path inside of Jazz Piano School through our Success Path curriculum. That's six stages. It's meant for someone who knows nothing about jazz. You've heard this, blah, blah, blah. It brings them all the way up to a point where they're playing gigs. Trent Bryden, the educator who's talking today and educating you, started as a member. He actually started as a member. He started on the path, and he's now an educator with us because he's grown so much. It's the most wonderful, amazing story ever. But what I've found is that human nature, just by the way humans are built, we get distracted easily, right? It's hard to stay on one path, one journey for a long time. And I understand that. I completely understand that. Now, this is the reason when we go to, you know, it's fun to go to libraries, right? It's fun to go to libraries, get out books on certain subjects. Wow. I said bics and then I said subjects. What's happening? Books on certain subjects, right? And so we want to learn about all we can about a certain subject, then move on. But sometimes we need a path, and that's what the Success Path curriculum is for. But what I'm going to start developing is mini paths. Now, we have mini courses in the lab, but they're random courses. So the mini courses are just small, bite-sized courses on random different topics: voicings, improv, blues, solo piano, reading charts, etc. They're all random. But what my new project is going to be inside the lab is creating mini paths on bigger categories. Now, in jazz piano, there's, and I'm creating this right now, I'm creating the core foundation of every category you could possibly need in jazz piano. Now, what do I mean? Well, obviously, you need improvisation. Improvisation is in itself is a category, right? That's one category, improvisation. Improvisation would have its own path. It would start from the very beginning, someone who knows nothing about improvising. And again, it would take them to the point where they're utilizing extremely advanced techniques to improvise, right? That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? So that would be improvisation. And these are going to be levels, guys. So like you can level up, you'll get awards for them, badges if you complete the different levels. It's going to be really cool. We have this all set up in Jazz Piano in inside the members area now. The other categories might be voicings, right? We all want to know about voicings. We need voicings. We need to understand how to play voicings. That would be another category. It'd start you with the most simple voicings. triads, right? And then we'd go to seventh chords, inversions, so on and so forth, voice leading, two-hand voicings, right? All that good stuff. Now, other categories would be like solo piano. That's a category. Group playing, that's a category. Rhythm, that's a category, right? Harmony and theory, kind of like more reharm topics. So I'm creating all these different categories. Now, there's not an infinite amount of categories here. I'm talking about like 8 to 10 categories that everything fits into. Everything inside of jazz piano that you need to learn will fit into one of these categories. So if you need an upgrade, if you need to follow down one of these mini paths to improve just your improv, to improve just your solo piano, to improve just your rhythms, to improve just your voicings, you can follow down these mini paths and drastically improve that specific category of jazz piano, and then hop back in to our Success Path curriculum and continue along your journey. Doesn't that sound awesome? I mean, I think this will be extremely helpful because most of us, right, we do want to follow a journey, but at the same time, we're like, oh, you're going to be like going down your journey and you might see like a detour because something looks interesting. But you still got to keep going on your journey because you don't want to get lost. You don't want to go too far. But at the same time, something might look interesting to you, so you're going to veer off a little bit. You're going to improve whatever skill that is. You're going to veer off. You're going to go down that path. That's going to link back up with our success. Excuse me, with our Success Path curriculum. I'm so sorry, my voice is struggling. But that's what I'm working on. That's what I'm working on creating for all the members inside. And we may have some like free samples of this, free releases for people out there to check it out. But anyway, just wanted to say that. So getting into Trent's episode today, he's going to be going over left-hand chord lines. Now, this is a really cool concept. It's more of a modern concept. Gerald Clayton does this a lot. You should definitely check him out. And it's a really cool thing, Robert Glasper. More of a modern concept, but if you can get this, if you can get this moving with your left hand, it's going to really, really help you. Solo piano, vocal accompaniment, accompanying any sort of instrumentalist, if it's just you and them, it's a really fantastic texture and tool to have in your tool bag. All right, guys, I'm so sorry about my voice. Hopefully it didn't bother you too much. I'll drink lots of water. I'll space my videos out more. That way I can speak to you clearly and fully without choking on my own vocal cords. All right. Enjoy this episode. Here we go.
What's up, guys? This is Trent with Jazz Piano School. And today we're going to be talking about creating left-hand chord lines. So oftentimes we kind of just plop and drop left-hand voicings that we've learned or practiced, such as the rootless voicings, the position 1 and 2 rootless voicings that we work so hard to get under our fingers. But it can make a big difference when you really work out left-hand chord arrangements throughout a tune that have real nice voice leading and real nice counter melodies, and not just the plop and drop voicings, as I call them. So we're going to be looking at the tune Just Friends, and I'm going to show you how I go about creating left-hand chord lines to use underneath both the melody and the solo section. All right, so let me just play through it real quick with this left-hand chord line that I'm talking about, and then we'll go through it kind of step by step and break it down.
Thank you.
All right. So that's pretty much the left-hand chord line. And a few couple things that I want you to notice. One is there's basically a counter melody going on in the left-hand thumb the entire time. It's creating melodic lines that kind of complement or are almost call and response-like to the to the main melody. For example, on the first chord, the C major, I'm playing a fourth voicing, 6-9 voicing, so 3-6-9 of the C major chord. And then in the thumb, I'm playing a nice kind of response line that encircles the root there. That's one technique, is to kind of play melody. Another technique is to, and what I do in the next chord, is combine that melody with chords changing underneath. So the second chord is a C minor, and I'm playing this. So the whenever you're holding out a note for a long period of time, where there's a few bars going underneath it, you can find a chord that fits nicely under this melody note that is kind of outside, but the melody note will fit in that chord. So for example, this E flat here is the third of C minor, but it's the 9 of C sharp. So you can kind of create, I guess, like waves, like underlying waves of chords that create some nice harmonic motion. So the first two changes together. It's important to note, though, that while the harmonies are getting kind of interesting, that counter melody is still definitely there on the top. The thumb, if you were just to play that, it would sound like this. So even without the harmonies, that's a strong line there. It's almost like you have like a saxophonist that's in the background that's playing these lines. Really cool stuff. So let's keep it going. All right, so now when we get to the G, I'm doing the same kind of encircling the root thing, but I'm adding a tension here. I'm holding the second and third together, and then I'm going down to the fifth. So it's kind of like a reflection of the first chord I played in left hand. So the first one is, and then this G is. That's something you can play around with. And then here's a real nice one. On the B flat minor, I've been kind of complex so far on the left hand. I'm going to just keep this one real open and just play 1 and 7, since the third's in the melody. And when I'm going to the E flat, I'm going to keep this B flat in the root for some nice voice leading. And then create some cool melodic motion here going to the third of the E-flat. And never actually play the root, so it'll sound like this. All together. On to the C minor here. So I played it like this, with the root and the shells in the left hand. You could, if you wanted to, split that up between the right and left hand. Or, especially when you're soloing, you're going to be wanting to play it mostly with your left hand, so your right hand's free to improvise. So for now, I'm just going to keep it in the left hand. Here's a fourth voicing, but notice that C is kept on top. You want smooth voice leading in that right, in that left-hand thumb melody, and sometimes that means staying on the same note. Here, on the B minor, I'm not even playing the third, I'm just playing the root, fourth, and seventh, because the melody's going to go down to the third and hit that. So I don't really need to worry about that in the left hand. When we get to the E minor, here's something really nice you can do in the left hand chord line is contrary motion. So the right hand goes 1, 2, 3. The left hand I'm going 1, major 7th, minor 7th. So it's all a walk down to the third of the A that we're going to. And then the next chord on the A, I'm moving the bottom voice and the top voice up by one chord tone to get this kind of fourth sound. And then just changing one note to get to the D sus. It's supposed to be A minor, D7. I'm skipping that A minor, just going right to the D sus. And then walking up to the D minor, G7 with flat 9. All right, so that's a lot. You guys don't need to worry about the specific notes that I'm playing, but what I want you to take away from this is the left-hand thumb is playing its own melody that is in kind of a call and response fashion with the right-hand melody. And what you have to do with that is then fit the chords underneath that melody. You can change some harmonies underneath it. You can do some cool counter, like contrary motion textures. But the most important thing is that your left hand has a melody that you're playing. You don't just want to play chords. You want to have some melodic motion going in your left hand chords. And this is something that if you want to, what I like to do is I like to work it out on every tune that I get serious with. And this is something that Bill Evans did seriously. He really worked out his left-hand voicings in kind of a compositional process. And the reason for that is a couple reasons. One, it just makes the whole thing sound better. Two, you can create, cool harmonic areas for your right hand to explore, and most importantly, it leaves you free to think about your right hand, so you're not you don't have to think about your left hand. You practice your left hand arrangement enough once you've written it that you don't have to think about it when you're playing and improvising. So your right hand and your improv side of your brain can be totally free without being hindered by the left hand. Another thing is sometimes when you go to these plop and drop voicings, your hands get kind of muddled up and it limits what you can do in your right hand. Like if you're trying to play a line that's going to land, like if I'm playing an A minor 7 and I just go straight to this A minor voicing, I can't play any notes down here because I'm stuck up here in my right hand. But if you know where your chords are going to line up and you've kind of got it written out, or maybe you have a couple options that you can do. That's another way to do it. Have a couple options of left-hand chord arrangements for different choruses. You know where your hand's going to be free to improvise. So it really helps with the architecture of the whole thing. So that's pretty much it. I'm just going to play through the whole thing one more time so you can really pay attention to this left-hand thumb melody. And do this on the tunes you're working on. For me, like I take a couple tunes and work on them for like months and months and like really get them down and do the this is one of the first steps I do, getting the left hand down. And then, like, if you're just on a gig and you're just playing, like, maybe off of a lead sheet or an iReel Pro and you don't really know the tune, then it's good that you've got your voicing memorized, like, your standard rootless voicings. And, you know, that's fine. That's good. That's a good level to be at where you can feel comfortable. But I think it's nicer to go deeper and really work out some of this left-hand stuff on the tunes that you're really serious about. So one more time, here's the arrangement. Sorry. then into the solo, you can kind of simplify it, but use the same basic voicing. That was me just improvising a little bit, kind of getting the feel of those left-hand voicings. But you can see when you improvise, you're not going to play them exactly like you arranged them, but you kind of use the same flow, the same basic, you know, kind of grips, and you'll feel it out. So anyways, have fun with this. Have fun getting compositional and creative and creating kind of your own landscapes with your left hand for you to improvise over. All right, have fun.